And he's so worthy of it. Well, here we are, marching a little closer to Christmas. How many days left? Wow, not everybody's up on their math. Today's the 15th. There's a hint. Yeah, it's a week and a half, and then we're at Christmas. So as Pastor Rick shared with us last week about the love of God in Christ, and 2 weeks ago I focused on the hope we have in Christ, and both of them, they're still going over and over them in my own heart. The hope, peace, love, it's all found in Christ. And then next week, we're going to focus on the joy that we have in Christ. So, and hopefully be able to tie them all together. It's a great season of hope, great season of peace, and yet so many people are struggling because they don't have that. So we've looked at hope. Today we're going to look at peace. What is this peace like? And in a few seconds, we'll have another video to explain both the Hebrew and the Greek words of where that comes from. But, last night, Lois and I went to the movies. We've been talking about doing that for, I don't think we've been to a movie in a year. Anyway, we went to see A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood. How many of you have seen this so far? Wow, very few. I highly recommend it. Mr. Rogers, I remember my kids watching him once in a while, and I thought he has almost a medicinal effect on the kids. I thought the guy's borderline comatose, but he hypnotizes the kids. I don't know how he does this. Didn't know anything about him, didn't really care. And then as they were promoting this film, I started doing a little more reading in the background of it, and reading a little bit about Tom Hanks' own journey of discovering Fred Rogers, which was pretty fascinating. The movie's very powerful because its theme, believe it or not, coming out of Hollywood, is love and forgiveness. Love and forgiveness. And there were only a handful of people. We were down in Freeport at the theater there. Only a handful. I don't know how much longer they're even going to play the thing because it's been out since, I think, Thanksgiving, something like that. And maybe I'll look at the licensing. I think Disney owns this one too, so if we have to pay for a license to show it here, it's probably half my salary. But anyway, Disney has a way of doing that. But it might be a good one if we can get the rights to show it in here. Love and forgiveness. And it does have to do with peace. Very much have to do with peace. So we're going to start with a video like we did 2 weeks ago from this company that does these, I think, very... peace. Pretty cool for 3.5 minutes or whatever. So, wholeness, well-being in the presence of God, peace. Peace. We, I think of the irony of shalom being the Jewish greeting, and in the Middle East you hug and kiss each other on the cheeks, and yet the Middle East has about the least peace of most places on the planet. So they're missing what God intended with this great word. So this morning we're going to look at 5 ways to find peace. I found a website, and I've got it referenced, I think, in their notes, that I've gleaned from and remodeled and added to and cut out and all those kinds of things. But it gave me a good, at least, foundational outline in thinking about this word. We all need peace. And they referred to it in the intro video here. And I think of 3 areas, and all 3 of these aren't really optional. They're all essential for our well-being. 3 areas of peace. And the first is to have peace with ourselves. Peace with ourselves. I think part of the human struggle is the inner conflict identifying who I am, why I'm here, how does this all fit in? And you could have a whole list and study just under what it means to have peace with yourself. Who God created you to be. And he did create you to be somebody. You are important to him. Peace with ourselves. And I did put that first. And even though this isn't a total sequence, the third one, of course, is peace with God. But to have peace with others, if I'm in conflict with myself, if I'm out of sort with myself, how does that play out in my other relationships? Not well. Not well. I've lived enough life to know that when I am upset inside, whether it's visible or not, the odds are it's going to play out in my relationships, especially to those who are closest to me, my spouse, my kids, whatever. There's going to be something that's, like they said in the video, incomplete, that needs rebuilding, correcting. And of course, all of this ultimately stems from my relationship with God, the creator, maker of me, who has given me breath, who has also given me my spirit, my relationship with him. And how a real graph of this would be a circle, and how all these are totally interconnected. Peace with myself, peace with others, peace with God. And we're going to look at some scriptures this morning. And as I was working on this, if you see the study notes, it's a full sheet. I just, through the week, just more and more verses kept coming. I hadn't realized what a huge theme this is in the Bible, and how all three of these components are part of God's design. So that's what we're going to take some time looking at. I'm going to start with first something from the Old Testament to build it, give it context, and then also in the New Testament. And this verse we've looked at before, we look at it probably every Christmas season anyway, from Isaiah's prophecy in chapter 9. And we know it's about Jesus, but of course the last great part of this complex name, I call this a complex name, because Isaiah in his prophecy through the Spirit is describing the indescribable, wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, and of course the last one is what? Prince of Peace. And then when we get to the New Covenant, this was fascinating. I knew it was common, but I didn't know how much. Over and over, Paul introduces his letters, his greeting, with this phrase. This is from 1 Corinthians, but it's all through his letters. So read this with me. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. How many times does that show up in the New Testament? 16 times. And it's always in that order. It's always in that order. It's not peace and grace. It is grace and peace. We need the grace of Jesus before we receive the peace of Jesus. We need to know him, to have Jesus. Then, after we receive his grace, the peace component starts being worked into us. So we're going to look at, I call it peace times five. It could have been peace times 20, but breaking it down this way, we're going to look at five things this morning. The first is peace is a product of God's design. There's a reason you and I want it, need it, and we feel out of sorts when it isn't there. Peace is not determined by possessions or circumstances. Peace comes from knowing Jesus, as we just said. Believing prayer ushers in God's peace. What is that like? And peace is not ours to keep, but the very structure of both the Hebrew and the Greek is it's ours to share. Peace in relationships, peace in context. So let's take this one at a time. Peace is a product of God's design. What do I mean by that? Well, let's look at this verse. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, "May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, before I'd seen that video, the training video on that shalom has this component of completion, obviously, Paul understood that when through the Spirit he writes this verse. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body, every part of you, come into the right relationship. How important is that? It's really important. Every part of it come into that same relationship. We need to remember a couple things, because our culture doesn't know this, and most of us are impacted very strongly, mostly unknowingly, by the culture around us. The first is there is only one God of peace. There are no substitutes, although we're told there are thousands of substitutes, and we tend to run after them willy-nilly, Christians or not. But there's only one God of peace, only one source of peace. And you cannot have true peace without the true God. You cannot. You cannot. And peace is a... this whole thing, how it ties together, is just... It's bigger than I thought it was. that's for me, part of the joy of... You pay me to study Scripture. That's a good thing, I think. But in studying this, to see how big this subject is, it's not just a little word. This is a huge word, like we talked about with hope a couple weeks ago. These are big biblical words loaded with meaning. Peace is not determined by possessions or circumstances. Peace is not determined by possessions or circumstances. Paul wrote this to the church in Philippi. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Then I skip down. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this, how? Through Him who gives me strength, through Jesus, through Christ who gives me strength. Paul has said, I've been through stuff to know the secret of being content. Have you learned the secret of being content? Maybe. Maybe life is that a key part of that process of learning to be content in Christ, because we've been told happiness or peace, this I call it the longing of the soul, and that's why I keep going back and reading A Mere Christianity, sections of it by Mere Christianity by C.S. Lewis, because he identifies these things very succinctly in his own British way. We have been fooled into thinking if we're in control, we have peace. But that is actually one of the greatest lies that Satan has come up with, that I can be in control of pretty much anything. And yet that lie is perpetuated all over the place, in schools and universities. Be yourself. Be true to yourself. Take control. But how much control do we have? How much control do we really have when you think about it? So little. So little. But we're not just random victims of fate. We have a sovereign God that we serve who is in control. But it's part of this, my peace, part of my peace is recognizing His control. And another word for that is His lordship, knowing He is Lord. This is another one that messes with us, the absence of conflict. In reality, this side of heaven, life is conflict. Now, that doesn't mean we should be making it. We shouldn't be, you know, the antagonist in this. But there's a lot of conflict in life. So the purpose of completion, of peace, bringing these broken, disjointed things back together. And, you know, I think of maintaining older cars. I've always had somewhat older cars. Our newest vehicle we just bought is 10 years old. I'm in the new car category. But when I maintain something, I have to laugh, because what happens when you get one thing fixed? Something else breaks. You're going to deal with something else. But the myth is, if I buy something new, nothing will go wrong with it, correct? Well, I worked at whatever it was, 3-4 different dealerships before I came here, and I watched a lot of interesting things happen with the new vehicles that don't have problems. And some of it was intentional. Did you know that from the auto workers themselves? I remember they were prepping a new car when I worked at the Ford garage years ago. And the mechanic setting it up said, Ron, come over and see this. So he was just setting up the seat belts in the car. And one of the backseat seat belts, the guy had intentionally bolted the whole seat belt down through the floor. It couldn't have been accidental. It was so perfectly bolted there. So it ruined the seat belt, and you wouldn't have found it till you pulled the seat cushion out. And he said, somebody had a sense of humor that day. You know, it's like, I'm bored with this job. Anyway, I'm sure other car manufacturers never run into that, but... Anyway, the struggle, there's always going to be some kind of tension or struggle. To live in the absence of that, we will have in eternity in heaven with Jesus. But that is what I'm learning is the difference. Why does heaven not have conflict? Because we're all at peace. We're in shalom with Jesus. We are with Him in His presence. But here we've got to deal with conflict, and it's how we deal with it. Mr. Rogers will help you deal with conflict. How do you like that? Jesus helps even more. The other thing I've been fooled on is if I have everything I need, I define as a need, then I'm at peace with myself and with others. but I really don't understand what I need. And so it's what I want is what I need. And you and all, we always wrestle with all of this stuff. What do you really need? You don't need a whole lot of things. And most of us have too much stuff. And, you know, as most of you in this room know, when my mom passed away this spring, we obviously had to clean out her house. And she had given us multiple heads up that you need to get going and clean out my house. Every birthday from 90 on, she'd say, it's time to get going and clean this house. I said, Mom, we'll get to it when we get to it. And she says, I've got a lot of stuff, and you've got a lot of stuff, and I'm not taking any of it with me. And she didn't. One set of clothes, that's what she came out with. And I'm trying to think how many trailer loads of stuff we moved. And she, my mom was not a hoarder. She was very organized and kept track of everything. She had no mental issues, that's for sure. But we all have all this stuff. And we think we can't live without it. And God's saying, no, you really can't. You'd be amazed what you could live without. And this is going to haunt me when I get home by saying this. Anyway. And we live in the illusion, especially in the West. I don't know in third world countries, I don't think they live with this illusion. But in the West, we live with this illusion that if I'm perfectly healthy, that will guarantee my happiness. And so we pursue it in all kinds of ways. The internet has opened the door to everything under the sun. If I'm perfectly healthy, then I'll have this peace that I'm trying to obtain. Obviously, I believe in good health. You should take care of yourself. You should eat well. You should exercise. All those things. Don't get me wrong. Bad health is a tough cross to carry. But it's not the ultimate goal. I didn't meet this woman ever, and I felt badly that I hadn't. But this woman lived down in Westbrook, and I don't even know her name at this point. But she had worked years ago with my Aunt Olive Silvius, my mom's aunt, my great aunt, down in Westbrook. And they become close friends, and they were both godly women. So then my Aunt Olive introduced her to my mom, and my mom had a chance to visit her a number of times down in Westbrook. But I can remember my mom describing her because she said, this woman is in very poor health, has been wheelchair bound for years. But mom says, her love for Jesus and her message to so many people about the joy of serving Christ, she says, it's unbelievable. You would think she wouldn't be that happy a person, but she is absolutely happy in Christ. And my mom said, I just marvel at her capacity for joy in extremely difficult circumstances. And I was thinking of her when I was working on my outline. I wish I had met her because my mom visited her a number of times when she was still able to drive. And I'm sorry to say I didn't get her down there. I got my mom down to the funeral, but I never met her in life. And I feel badly about that. She had the joy of the Lord. That's the point. She didn't buy into the stuff where we've been fooled into this. All this is going to help. And obviously, if you can pay your bills, if you can take care of your family, if you have good health, those things are all good. That's not it. But you know what I'm talking about. The culture says you will be happier if, ... that kind of momentum. Ultimately, peace, of course, comes from knowing Jesus. Where Paul would write in probably his most articulate letter, the book of Romans, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is our peace. That is a simple statement, but a very, very powerful and complete verse. If you have put your faith in Christ, you have been justified, legally made not guilty before God through Jesus Christ, and therefore you have peace with Him. It's absolutely wonderful. Believing prayer ushers in God's peace. Believing prayer ushers in God's peace. What does it mean? Well, I'm going to give you a quote in a second from Max Lucado, but this one I've been puzzling about. I've been puzzling about my own prayer life anyway, but I've been thinking about how I pray for people, and I do. I pray for people. But how do you pray for people? When do you pray for people? And what am I looking for even as I pray for these people, as I'm praying for you? What are we actually looking for? And this is a verse from the Old Testament. Isaiah, the great prophet Isaiah, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. And this is from the King James first, because I learned it in the older translation, ASV or King James. Whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in me. Then the NIV words it a little bit differently. You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. And the way I think I understand it is that Jesus is my focal point throughout the day. And even as I'm going to sleep and even as I'm waking up, Jesus is my focal point. And I've been working on this myself because I tend to wake up and immediately try to think through the day. What's the day going to bring? Who do I need to see? What do I need to follow through with? I think most of us tend to do that. Wake up, what's the day going to be? I got to get some things done. I'm trying to shift gears from that a little bit and wake up and focus on my Savior and who He is. Keep my mind focused, mind stayed on Him. So my prayer is shaped out of Jesus, not just the needs. We're good usually at taking our needs to Christ, but then focusing on people. This is from Max Lucado, a great little quote. This kind of prayer is not a random, nebulous, earthly peace, though this peace that we're looking for, pardon me, but His peace. God's peace is imported from heaven. The same tranquility that marks the throne room, God offers you. And He talks about that in receiving prayer, ushering in God's peace. Excuse me, believing prayer, ushering in God's peace. That's the process that makes that happen. And then number five in this condensed list is peace is not ours to keep, but ours to share. Well, it actually has to be when you look at these two words, the Greek and the Hebrew words, because it is this completion of what needs to be done. So it's no wonder that Jesus would say in the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, the blessings, blessed are the peacemakers. But I've thought of that differently since this study this past week. Not just the peacemakers in the absence of conflict, but in their graphic they pointed out, not just that the conflict ends, but we end up working together. It's not just that I don't have to see them again. I said I'm sorry, goodbye, and I'm all done. But there actually is a resolution that's beneficial to both parties. The peace of God must be evident in us. The peace of God must be evident in us. Others need to see what we have and desire to have it. Then we must be peacemakers, able to share the love of God with a troubled world. And that's from that earlier website. And that's why Jesus would say further down, after blessed are the peacemakers, you are the light of the world. That peacemaking thing. In the same way, let your light shine before others, they may see your good works and glorify your Father who's in heaven. Now, not everybody will buy into our attempts to make peace with them. Some people will refuse it, but I think, as you might say, in good conscience before God, I need to do my part. You need to do your part, because Jesus, that's what He did. He did His part. That's why the writer of Hebrews, I'm going to put my money that it was Paul, but who knows when we get to heaven. We don't know. It's not an assigned letter. But they wrote, pursue peace with all men and the sanctification without which no one will see God. In other words, as we pursue this healing of relationships with ourselves, with others, and with God, that sanctification, the work of the Holy Spirit, can move forward. And then probably my favorite verse on peace is Jesus' own words from the Last Supper in John 14. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. And I think of the components of just that verse. I look at that one, you look at this one. The components there, all the things that do trouble us or make us fearful, we come back to Jesus and He gives us peace right there. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. And I think of this verse as you might say, I'm giving Jesus permission. Permission. I let you, Jesus, rule in my heart, your peace. And so we're going to sing a peace song, Advent song. It's a newer one. We've sung it before here. Many of you will remember it.
Got a piece about peace.
Yes. Yes. Rod is saying, remember that with our Christmas program, it is also a potluck.
So bring something delicious to share. Glory, let there be peace.
Get all our musicians in here.
One, two, three, four. And you. Lord, thank you for your peace. And where Paul would write, "And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." Thank you, Jesus, for coming. We think of your coming as a baby, but also your second coming, and we're in this in-between place where we can live in you and walk with you, knowing our sins are forgiven. We have peace with God, your Father, because of your work. And now, through the help of your Spirit, that fruit, love, joy, peace, the third one of the fruit of the Spirit, we can have that more and more with ourselves, with others, because it's already been accomplished with you. Amen? We go